Let roundtables begin here at Southwest Airlines Ticket Stock 2012. First of all, thank all of you for coming out. We've already got a tremendous crowd here today, don't we?
Yeah.
Look at you people.
Look at me pandering to you in that way.
Look at the left bank over here of Sooners, huh?
All right. Those are our peeps, Corby. Those are our peeps.
You just did the Arsenio bit.
I know.
And
I
these
did.
People over here.
Yeah.
All right, with us on this round table.
Were you just doing Arsenio there?
You just heard the Cobra. You just heard Bob Sturm.
Hey, now.
Of that Bob and Dan radio program. Dan McDowell is here.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
It's going great, man.
Great to see you.
I am here. But most more important,
what about
far
Craig
more important
Miller?
Than any... would you shut up? Far more important than any of that is Junior Miller is here.
Wow. How
about that?
I'm the least important.
No, no. You're the sponsor of Ticket Stock.
Oh, that's right. This is Craig Miller's Ticket Stock.
That's right.
Yes, that's right.
You are the presenting sponsor.
Yes. Thank you for recognizing.
Yes, I do. Now, also, it has fallen to us to interview one of our very special autograph guests out here, and I know everybody will be thoroughly entertained and enjoy seeing him. Please give it up for the Rangers' great Derek Holland.
Look at that, Derek.
Yeah, look at that. The great Dutch oven.
Derek is here.
That is awesome.
It is awesome, isn't it?
Have you ever seen a crowd this big?
I have not, actually. This blows out the World Series by
See?
Far. There's...
I knew it. I knew it.
Whew.
We've topped
I'm
it.
I'm a little nervous right now.
Why have we stuck with the mustache? I thought that was a playoff bit.
You know, sometimes you just got to surprise people. And you keep things around. When it's good, it's good. You know, I'm pretty sure I was doing pretty good with the mustache. Why would I get rid of it?
So are you trimming it?
I've really not touched it. That's just how good it is.
That's wow. So crazy.
It's so lame.
It's so good. You're just jealous.
No, I am.
You're jealous.
I'm highly jealous, yeah. Now, when's the last time you got the haircut?
June.
See, I feel like it was bigger with Delcus.
June. It was right when we played Houston. Sorry.
You must have had a special shampoo with Delcus. Way bigger.
I like. Just want to get in that Head and Shoulders commercials, you know, that...
Palomalu?
Yeah, I want to do that.
That'd be awesome.
I think it'd be fantastic.
So is that when your shutouts started? When you were... Is this why, though? You kind of say you were doing pretty well with the mustache. Why not keep it?
They both weren't noticeable because the hair was gone on the head. And the mustache just wasn't even noticeable. So I guess we could say that's when it all started.
Okay.
For the shutouts.
The little shutout streak you went through in the summer.
Yeah. What happened again? What did I do?
I don't know exactly. I remember you pitched extraordinarily well.
I think you had 64 straight scoreless innings. That's
right.
What I remember.
Didn't you lead the league in shutouts?
No, I didn't, actually.
Not the whole Major League Baseball. I mean, just the
American League.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you have four or five?
Four.
I mean, if
four?
You got to pitch four. Where pitchers hit, certainly you would have had more.
You mean you right? could not lead the entire baseball world in shutouts?
No, there was one guy in front of us.
Was it Cliff?
Yeah. That's Bastard. A pretty good guy, though. I know they don't like him right now. I can tell
How
by
do you
their,
not like Cliff
their
Lee?
Tone.
What'd he do wrong around here, people? Get out of here!
Hey, just because he hauled ass, let's not make a big deal out of everything, okay?
He got to watch the Rangers in the World Series.
That's right, he did.
He did.
How about that?
Boom.
I think we sent him a couple text messages. Let him know.
Did we?
No, not really.
Oh, okay. That wouldn't have been nice.
We don't want to be mean.
And plus, you might play him this year in the World Series.
Nothing wrong with that.
No. No. Okay, so... the inevitable question after what happened there in that game.
I'm sorry about this.
In that game, if you add up 3 plus 3, that game, after that, you know.
Is that like 4?
It is.
Yeah, it's 4.
Okay.
Because I was reading Sports Illustrated, and they were ranking the teams, and they had you guys 1 or 2 in the American League, and they're like, but we haven't seen a team since the Red Sox in 86 or whatever year that was, that they came within one strike of winning. We haven't had that team yet. And, you know, after the Red Sox went through that, they sucked for about 12 years. But I imagine you guys are a little bit more stocked than that Red Sox team is, and it seems like everybody still has that confidence going.
Well, we're not going to suck, so don't worry.
Thank you.
Guaranteed. But, I mean, we're not... Nothing's
All right, there's
change.
A Dutch oven guarantee.
Like,
How about that?
That was like Joe Namath right there.
We're definitely not going to suck. I don't know. I think we're going to be fine. We got the same team as we did last year. We just got two different players, really, that stick out big time. You know, you, Darvish, and Joe Nathan.
He met you?
I have not met myself, no.
Okay.
Isn't that the worst thing about signing him?
Who?
You. Stop it!
Me?
Oh, God.
Abbott and Costello making an appearance.
Or care. Is it the best thing about signing him?
It's I mean good. You. Me?
You.
I'm waiting.
Him.
Oh. It's good. I think it's going to be good. But the thing that kills me is, once again, we're being rolled out again. Nobody realizes what we've done, and we've got the same team as last year, and it's like we don't have a chance now to go anywhere. It's like they're already rolling us out and not even making the playoffs, it seems like.
Well, they got Pujols.
Who cares?
You know, they got CJ.
So what?
They now have a pitcher who can land the team plane.
Yeah.
Yeah. How are you guys going to top that?
Are you taking flight lessons just to counter that? Popping off, maybe?
Okay, he's cocky. He was cocking off.
I've never heard that.
Well, now you have. And you're welcome to use that in the clubhouse.
I will never. That is just
good
yours.
Good idea.
Did anybody...
I'm so embarrassed.
Did anybody go up to him and say, are you effing kidding me?
Uh-oh.
The team plane?
We actually were like, who cares? Just let him go. If he wants to land the plane, land the plane. No, CJ's a good guy. He's awesome. He's just... That's kind of weird. I didn't know about the whole flying thing like that. I know he did a flight simulator, and it happened to be with Southwest, if I'm correct.
Oh, so he went to Sim Fighters, huh?
No, he probably played a game of Defender or something like that.
He's like the Sims.
I can do that.
You're old. Defender.
I can totally fly a spaceship.
Corby's drunk.
Do you have any new updated impersonations other than the Arnold and the Harry Carey?
I mean, I've done the Borat a few times, but nothing too, nothing much more.
Do you do Ron Washington?
Not very good. I'm not gonna do him right now. I gotta keep practicing.
That's what you need to work on.
Let me at least get a contract before I start doing all that stuff. I want to be here.
Do Nolan.
I'm definitely not doing that. Sorry. I cannot do that. That's a big name right there.
Oh, come on.
This is Derek Holland here at Ticket Stock as I reset. And is there anything you enjoy doing in the off season when you're not pitching on the mound for the Rangers?
I can hear people talking hockey. I do go to a lot of Stars games.
Really?
I actually go home and play hockey, though. When I'm in Columbus, I'll do some hockey there. I did a little bit this year here in Dallas, out in Frisco.
You play a little bit?
Yeah.
Did you play as a young lad?
Sure did not.
Really?
Yeah. Actually, when I was back home, we didn't have any like hockey. We had a minor league team there. And then obviously in 2000, I think it was, is when the Blue Jackets came to town.
Mm-hmm.
And I became, you know, a diehard fan of them. And, you know, and then I got here, I started following the Stars, and... Hopefully, there's a nice little rumor going around. Stars might pick up my favorite player, Rick Nash. And if this comes true...
How old is he?
I think he's 28, 29.
Oh, really? Still? Okay.
Still.
It
goes for a year.
He's still young, yeah.
And then it changes.
He's still 28?
It takes a little bit.
Seems like just last year he was 27.
Yep.
So how much time
for a year?
How much time did you spend up there in that part of the world in this off season so far?
The state of Ohio.
Yeah, the state of Ohio.
I am there for probably about a month or so. I mean, it's
you stay with your peas up there.
The rents, yeah, I'm
yeah,
with
the
them
rents.
All the time.
Now is your room still like decked out with all your childhood heroes on the wall and trophies and?
No, they kind of upgraded. I got a new bed. I got a car bed. comes with a CB radio. It's pretty cool. I talked to all the other car beds.
The old towels underneath the bed and stuff.
Do you have to sleep in separate rooms?
Sorry
with
about
the
that.
Fiance?
No, actually. Oh, I'm sorry.
Or has she met your
parents?
Yes,
we have.
Yet?
We sleep in different rooms.
Oh, okay. Definitely. Well, I meant when you go home.
You don't sleep in a bassinet next to your parents?
Unfortunately, I don't.
Now, did you get married or something this offseason?
That's what he just.
No,
engaged.
No, I'm engaged.
Oh, okay.
Now, describe that story. What did you do? What special Derek Holland thing did you do?
I just gave her a ring.
Just kind of threw it
That's
at
it?
Yeah,
just, here you, you go. Take this.
That's
it's yours.
Romantic.
Were you here? Were you Come here? Or were you
did something.
No, we were in Columbus.
Oh, you were?
Yeah.
That's a very romantic city.
It was. Yeah, it's the best one you can go to.
The Paris of Ohio.
A lot of people were around there. You know, it's real nice.
Did you take her to the Shoe?
No, I would never take her there. I hate Ohio State. that's bad. I know. Sorry, guys. I'm not a Longhorn fan, so.
Were you a Michigan guy then growing up?
Yeah, diehard.
Like,
I
if you're
Michigan.
In Columbus, you're either Michigan or Ohio State,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I love Michigan big time.
Was right. Following still?
Just
because like
you're anti-establishment, so you chose to...
Say what?
You're somebody who just likes to go against the grain. So if you're in Columbus, you can't root for the Buckeyes.
And I never will. But, yeah, that's how I... I mean, I just grew up that way. I've been in Michigan my whole life.
Are you happy with Brady Hoke?
I am, actually, but, I mean, I like Denard Robinson, but I'll be glad when he's gone.
Yeah.
I mean, he's no Michael Vick, sorry.
Right.
He's trying, though.
So is your fiance from up there? Or?
She's from here.
Oh, really?
She's from Plano area.
All right.
So I kept it in Texas. I got.
Where'd you guys meet? Chili's?
No, we met, man, I wish I had a good one. I couldn't come back with anything on that.
Olive Garden, you could have thrown that at me.
Nah. Do you guys have Chuck E. Cheese? Is that what it
yeah,
is?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, don't hang
I was
out.
I was in the ball pit. She saw me rolling around.
Popped out.
She was like, look at that guy. He's got
I'm
a sweet
love.
Mustache.
She liked
it
the
wasn't
mustache?
Quite then yet. She,
okay.
But no, she doesn't like it.
Oh,
I don't
really?
Think too many people do, but
she doesn't
shave
like it.
Around. Is she going to make you shave it for the wedding so you don't have those cheesy pictures forever?
Actually, everything's going to be gone. In
Everything?
June. Yeah.
Like total head to toe?
Just this hair and my face.
Okay.
So you're going to visit We Only Wax?
Yeah, something like that.
What do they do there?
So wait, the wedding's in June?
This guy's won 16.
No, the wedding's in January.
Oh, yeah, you can't have a wedding during the season.
Yeah, that's a little hard.
Yeah.
Games are replaying.
So you got a year.
Yeah, so make sure he knows that's a long time from now.
Right.
All the way around real quick.
It's like 14, 16 months.
Will you get married here? Here in Plano?
It's going to be in Las Colinas.
All right, so out there at the Four Seasons?
Yep.
It'll be our own little...
You guys can, like, make a surprise entrance.
That'd be great.
Our own little Kardashian-type deal here in Dallas.
Yeah, you guys can follow me around.
Sure.
So, wait, you have not met Mr. Darvish?
What's his first name?
Shut up.
No, I have not. I have not got to see you yet.
No, I met him. I kind of...
You did?
I did. Corby did.
You know, we've talked a little too much about you, Derek.
Let's focus
Let's,
on me.
That's
talk
pretty
about
crazy.
Corby.
Because, yeah... Please, you.
He blew me off completely.
Who did?
The guy. Tall guy. By the way, let me tell you this about him.
Please do.
Very attractive man. Very oddly configured skin color. It's nice, though. It's
He's
nice.
Our station bisexual.
I just want to let you know that's not something you really want to tell another guy.
Well, we're not. No one's listening right now. Don't worry about it. You'll find that, though. You'll say, man, you're oddly attractive. He is.
I won't. I'm just going to go, hey, what's up, Darvish? All right, see you later. Have a good one.
All right, is it tough? I mean, you had it with Koji and what's the other guy's name?
Yoshi.
How's the communication going there?
With Koji, I know, you know, the rumors going around we might trade him, but with Yoshi.
Yeah, but you might get Eric Sogard.
And so with Yoshi, we... That was bad. With Yoshi's hilarious. I mean, you guys would have just as much fun talking to him as you do me. He's like a straight goofball the whole time in the clubhouse, and he practices English.
You don't want a teammate that looks like that?
I sure don't. It looks like Harry Potter. Yoshi is very funny. Like, the things that I can't even repeat half the stuff he says, but he's so funny.
Because it's in Japanese.
Actually, I'll say the one thing that he has... No. The one thing that they told him to say to me all the time is because, you know, with my hair, he said this the first day. This was on Monday this week. He came up to me. I haven't seen him the whole time. You know, he's been in Japan. He goes, hey, you live in a trailer park? And I was like, what? And just think, coming from Yoshi, you know, it's one of those guys you're like, it catches you off guard because it's Yoshi saying it. But it's the things that he says and how he does stuff, it's funny.
We have a Japanese phrase you might want to throw at him.
I can't wait to hear this.
And see if he can handle it. One more time.
Can I get one of you guys to say that, though?
Well, actually.
That was him.
Oh. He looks pretty excited over there.
Let me just tell you that, have you ever heard of the phenomenon for children known as juju pets? Little mice that run around that the Japanese invented? This is going a long way to
I know,
really
cat,
dig
little
myself.
Cats get those things.
Yeah, it essentially is what it is, but it makes crazy sounds, and I was trying to mimic the sound it made, and that's what came out of my mouth. So
you can say that to Yoshi after you... Yes, say that to Yoshi after you tell you Darvish how hot he looks.
Please. After he tells who?
A, you're hot.
Mr. Darvish. You, Darvish.
Oh, man. Well, you ready to go do the autograph thing? That's why you're here.
I think he's already done it.
I'm ready. Look how many people just now. There's more than there was when we first started. This is pretty cool. I'm sorry. I'm enlightened by it. You guys are used to it. Sorry.
Yeah.
It happens all the time.
Yeah, totally famous, man. I don't know. It's just so
what are you
going
to do? So are you going to go to the range,
get something to eat?
How do others usually end interviews with you? How do we...
Well, you could just go, big gulps, eh? Well, see you later. Take them off.
Exactly.
All right, Derek, thank you for the time. It's been a pleasure.
Yes. Enjoyed it.
You're a fascinating subject.
The great Derek Holland, everybody.
Thank you, guys.
All right, it is 5:30 here on The Ticket.
Well...
I don't believe I'm captaining this.
Why not? You were the last one,
right? Yeah, you are.
Right?
This is you.
No, I don't think
this
so.
This is all the same one. It's the same round table.
All right, let's check.
Get Derek Holland
back. I've got
back.
The official schedule, and...
Get Derek Holland
Mike,
back up here.
Yeah, Mike, you're still the captain.
So should we take by that you haven't prepped much for this segment?
Yeah, you could say that. There's a 40-liner that needs... Well, it's just a cross promo, so...
Why don't you
listen
start
to the ticket as often as you possibly can. How about that?
Why don't you start with your best memories from being a roundtable captain?
I have no good ones. Hmm. I have none from being a roundtable participant.
Wow. Whoa! So negative.
Yeah.
Come on, man. The last roundtable with
Derek
Holland?
We're going scorched earth, man.
Derek Holland was fun, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was fun. He was fun.
I enjoyed him.
Yeah, he's a fun guy. The Rangers are a bunch of fun guys. And spring training is about to start, and they're about to trade for Eric Sogard.
I got a baseball question for you, since you've been with him since
72.
I don't
like baseball questions.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
I got a cricket question for you.
Okay.
Australia or Great Britain in the big showdown this year?
Always the Aussies. Go Aussies.
Okay, back to baseball. AL West, this year, more anticipation for Rangers versus fill in the blank, this year it'd be the Angels, than any other year with any other AL West rivalry?
Definitely.
It's got to be, doesn't it?
Yeah, not even close. Some of those years when we thought the Rangers might be good and the swinging A's were, everybody looked forward to those games. But one of the two teams, usually the Rangers, would fall pretty flat. But this year, yes, every Angels game will be off the charts. It will be of any Cowboys game in magnitude.
You remember when the Rangers and Royals were AL West bunkmates and they had a pretty hot rivalry for a few years? Lots of fighting and bench-clearing brawls.
Right, lots of fighting and just real hotly contested battles, but... The thing about that, though, is I know this sounds crazy relative to what's gone on in the lifetime of most here, but back then the Royals were always much better. Mm-hmm. But yes, I can't wait for it.
Have you forgiven Nelson Cruz yet?
Yeah. Yeah, I've forgiven Nelson Cruz. Hey, it's behind us.
Have you told him that?
No, and I won't. It's behind us. It's time to tee it up and do it again, man.
You need to tell
him. Time to get out there, get to spring training, and let's get on with this thing.
Yeah, let's in order for them to get past this, at spring training, you need to walk up to him, put your hand on his shoulder, and say, I forgive you.
We need closure.
How many consecutive World Series losses in a row before Ron Washington loses his job?
Interesting.
Because he keeps mismanaging the playoffs.
Boy, that's a good one.
One more.
Wow.
But you're getting to the World Series
every
year.
They get to the series and lose this year?
If they get to the series and lose this year, it'll be time to try it with somebody else.
Wow.
What, you don't think?
He's totally lost in the National League Park, Mike.
I know. And it will be time to try it with somebody else. If they get there again this year and things don't go right, even if it's just an unbelievably random and bizarre set of circumstances like that which went on last year, that doesn't matter. There's no way they will bring him back if it happens again. No matter what.
In this Moneyball era, we always have to think outside the box. Would you consider a National League Park manager to help, like, co-manage this team with Ron Washington? And Ron gets all the American
League. Just for the playoffs?
He gets all the American League.
Oh,
parks,
even during the year then?
But you have this guy ready for the National League parks.
But when you're in National League parks, that guy is going to be running the game.
Right.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Maddux.
That would be a very, very unusual
setup. What if we let Mike Maddux do it?
That would be a very unusual arrangement.
And Ron has to go out to the bullpen and watch the game from out there.
Like he's not allowed to present the lineup cards or anything.
Nope. If you're going to try this, and I think a third straight would really, really move you to such changes. You probably have to get serious about it. You got to go all the way with it, Mike.
Well, I think a third straight would move them to the point where the old school brother has had his time, and now it's time for somebody else.
Well, this is a guy who doesn't remember how dark the times were just 2 or 3 years ago.
No, I do remember.
Ranger baseball.
But I also think I have a little bit of a handle on how this ownership thinks and how the general manager thinks and where they're going to fall on all this. I know they love the fact that they've gotten there 2 years in a row, and yes, there absolutely is something to be said for that, but if they get there again and things don't go right, then that's it.
What if he has another Coke slip-up?
It seems crazy to say 3 pennants.
Yeah, I know, but 3 pennants without winning the World Series is all they're going to take, I'll bet you.
They're really at the best spot in franchise history, and at the same time, they're at that really uncomfortable spot.
Yes, they're at a very difficult spot. It is the best spot they've ever been at, but at the same time, it's a really tough one.
Like, you realize this season could be that first year where you complain that you only got a division title.
Yeah.
How insane could that be?
Or you
like,
won.
In fact, you're almost anything short of a division title would be highly unacceptable.
Yes.
You'd be actually angry about it.
Right. Or you won 87, 88 games, had a pretty good team and everything, and there have been plenty of years where, you know, you didn't even come close to that, but the bar's been raised now.
All right, so if you get to the World Series and lose, and that costs Wash his job, what if you win 87 games but you don't win the West? Is he also fired there?
Yeah, probably, unless there's something like big injuries and stuff like that. That might change.
So the only
things.
Way he keeps his job, in your mind, this year is winning the World Series?
I think that's a very likely possibility.
What if they only win 53 and he has 3 cocaine relapses?
Then you keep him and fire all the players, I guess. Hell, I don't know.
What if he and Josh are found together?
And they're lovers. It turns out they're lovers.
What if they asked to room together on the road? Would you be suspicious?
Yeah, I would be. That'd be very odd. Odd twosome.
What if he were Josh's accountability partner?
I don't know. Stop pelting me with the Rangers.
But you love the Rangers.
Yeah, I do love the Rangers.
How many sleeps?
5.
Can you take us back to that?
What's gayer than saying that?
Can you take us back to that sad night?
The night of Game 6?
Or Game 7. I'm not sure which I want to hear more about, but I'd like to hear about getting up off the easy chair and turning off the TV.
Well, I was not in the easy chair.
Slowly taking off your catcher's gear and
taking off your bra.
Wandering off to bed with the eye black still on. And
no, none of that was going on.
How'd you do, man? How was the next Saturday morning? What was that like?
That was pretty rough. It was pretty rough.
Well, help us understand. Help us help you cope.
I've coped. We're fine now. We're ready to tee it up again and get this thing going. Get Ranger baseball back. and watch them dominate once again.
And you've promised in this segment that they will have cowboy-level interest for all the Angels games this season.
Yes, I think they will. I think they will.
A 35 share on television.
I think that's possible.
What if we add them all up every
week? I think the World Series games were like a 15 share, weren't they?
Of course, everybody watches the Cowboys, but not that many are really interested in them.
Okay.
They just do it because it's trendy and because it's the Cowboys. But now the Rangers are trendy.
Have they shared with you the plans for the what's going on in center field? Do you know what's going on out there, Mike?
No, I don't. That's all to be sorted out in spring training.
Seems like construction is going on even as we speak.
Yes.
If they fired Wash and they wanted you to manage, would you?
They wouldn't want me to manage.
Let's just say they did.
Let's just say they offered
it. No, I wouldn't.
They would not accept it.
I'm not qualified.
How much fun would that be?
That wouldn't be fun at all. That doesn't look like a fun job at all.
What if Rusty would be in your ear, like on a, you know, the guy who's telling the other guy how to talk to the girl or something? You know, so Rusty would sit in the stands every night and tell you moves to make.
They've heard some segments, and they like what you say about the Rangers.
No.
Yeah.
They feel like you're just what the team needs.
How funny would that be to see Ryan's in Ranger Red going out to argue a call and getting upset with the umpire and kicking dirt on him and getting tossed?
Stumbling on the way up the stairs.
That'd be awesome.
I wouldn't be terribly combative with umpires.
Would you step over the foul line each time, or would you just walk wherever?
I'd walk wherever.
Okay, you wouldn't have a little superstition about that?
No.
Cat's giving us the gotta go.
Good.
But we're just getting into the important questions.
We're really not.
Would you bring back the bullpen car?
We're really not. There's many, many more important questions than these that are just dying to be answered.
Would you chew seeds or tobacco
or gum? So it's 548 here on the ticket.
What number would you demand?
Yes, the Irving Convention Center for Southwest Airlines ticket stock. It is 554 here on Sports Radio 1310, the ticket. We've got a round table going right now. Norm Hitchkiss, Bob Sturm, Gordon Keith. I'm Giorgio. And joined by the great number 48, Daryl Moose Johnston. Yay. Or Moose. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for being a part of Ticket Stock 2012. We appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure. I haven't been in a long time, so you got to come to the new venue and everything.
Yeah. Cool digs, and we're glad to have you. And you were just telling me it is the off season, but for you, you're still doing some football announcing. P1s will see you on the NFL Network throughout the off season, all the way till training camp, or just for the next couple of months?
Probably just the next couple of months.
Yeah.
My obligation, I'm going to try and wrap it up through March and April, maybe into May. But it's kind of a June-to-June contract, a couple of days each month during the course of the year. So I'm going to try and go out. Once you get beyond certain points, I feel that my value kind of diminishes. I don't know the draft very well. I can do free agency, but, once you get into May and June, there's not a whole lot to talk about with football. So I try to get everything done during the season and leading up to Super Bowl.
You just leave that for Bob and Norm to talk about April and May
and
the draft?
Well, the guys that know it. I love listening to it and finding out what's going on. We very rarely get to see the guys play on Saturdays. We're in production meetings and doing different things, meeting with the visiting team. So even today, with the TV on in the background, you hear a little bit, but, I really don't know who the guys are coming out this year. They're, the marquee guys or the sleeper guys. I like to know about the guys who are going to go, rounds 2 through 5. Those are the guys I want. I know the first round pretty well, but beyond that, I never really know it that good.
When you travel around the country, it's now been years since you were a player. When you go to other venues, do they holler out Moose?
They flip me the bird in Philly. Now, it's good. I mean, there are Cowboy fans everywhere. So, yeah, people recognize me as Moose, and, I think that'll always be a part of who I am. But it's fun. We have Cowboy fans in Washington, New York, Philadelphia, all over the country. When you talk about America's team, I think the moniker for the Dallas Cowboys really fits because we have a fan base that extends to every city.
Does your family call you Moose, like your parents?
No, we had to stop that.
Enough is enough after a while.
It didn't feel good anymore.
And they bring out your birthday cake every year. Does it say Moose on it?
Happy birthday, Moose. You get a little cantlers on the antlers.
Right. Hey, your ex-teammate Troy Aikman told us once that he would never recommend. There he is right there joining us
great
now.
Great to be here, George.
Hang on, Troy.
Okay.
He told us that, of course, he has daughters. I don't know if it really apply, but he said he would not recommend football to them. Yeah, I know you have kids. You have boys,
I have a 12-year-old son.
You recommend football to him, given what we know now about concussions and the head injuries that are such a big story now?
I think the pendulum may have swung a little bit too far to one side right now. Football is a violent sport. It's one of the things that attracts fans to it. And we go to hockey games to see fights. We watch NASCAR to see a crash. We watch football because it's a violent collision-based sport. So, yeah, there's going to be injuries there. But maybe because we know more about it now, maybe because we're able to diagnose it better, maybe because we're more aware of it, we continue to talk about it. And I think it has scared a lot of parents. I think it makes the kids nervous, too. I coached my son's team last year, and we had, boys come up and say, I think I have a concussion.
Yeah.
When I was young,
shut up and get back there? Or what? Yeah.
How many fingers? Get back out of it. No, we actually, we have a sideline protocol. We put him through, if he comes up and tells me, I think I have a concussion, the biggest thing we're doing now is we're erring on the side of caution. And I think that's the best thing that's happened through this whole thing, is we're taking the decision-making process away from the coaches and giving it to somebody who's a neutral party. We're more aware of it, and we are erring on the side of caution. There's time for the body to recover. We understand now what happens when you have a concussion, so we're not in a rush to get the player back on the field. We know the danger of the second concussion and the third concussion if it happens very, very quickly. So I think we're learning a lot, and I think the rule changes that the NFL has put in place are helping with that. I've seen the targeting change on some of these big hits over the last couple of years, so they're making headway that way. But I really, really feel that the pendulum has swung a little bit too far that way. It'll come back the other way soon enough, and we'll get back to a point where we're not. I think right now we're afraid. We're scared about what could happen. So I think that if you teach kids the right technique, you teach them how to play the game the right way, that you can go out and you can play a game of football and not be more susceptible. It's a part of the game. You're never going to eliminate it. There's so many ways you can get a concussion. That you can't account for during the course of a four-quarter game, that you'll never eliminate it, but we can sure reduce it, and we can become smarter on how we react to it. And that's the most important thing. It's going to happen during the course of a season or during the course of a career. What do you do once it happens? And I think we're better there. I think we're smarter there.
When you say the pendulum's gone too far, wow. Do you feel like it's being overdiagnosed? Like it's now a catch-all term for all manner of things, or is that what you mean by the pendulum has gone too far?
I think we talk about it so much that we're oversensitive to it. And there really is no way to know exactly what's happened. When somebody comes to the sideline and says, hey, I think I had a concussion,
you have to
respect that, and you have to put him through, the sideline protocols that you can do, whatever has been set up. Texas is one of the better states because, at the high school level, they're taking steps to really be aggressive with this. They're pushing legislation. New Jersey's pushing legislation. Washington State, has done a great job pushing legislation. The commissioner's behind it. I think they had 44 governors ready to sign on recently. So there's a lot of things happening in the courts to make it safer. But I just think we talk about it so much, they hear about it so much, that as soon as you get a bump in the head, wow, that hurt. I think I have a concussion. And because of, how sensitive a topic it is, you have to respect that and make sure you do everything possible to make sure you don't put that player in jeopardy again.
General, there seem to be a lot of NFL players, primarily defensive players, really angry at Roger Goodell with the way he's handing out fines and punishment for illegal hits. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think some of it's deserved. We've been talking about this, and like I mentioned before, I've seen players with the opportunity to put a hit on that would draw a fine, and they know they're going to get fined, and they change the targeting. And some of these guys, they won't accept it. They're being stubborn. And the big thing is a lot of these guys, it's little things. It's like a guy not wearing knee pads. I had two concussions for sure when I played, one in college and one here with the Dallas Cowboys, and they were both the same way. I cut block a guy, and I'm going to get up, and a guy's jumping over me, and he knees me in the side of the head. And he's got a knee pad on. Now today, they don't wear knee pads. So when you're a 245-pound guy that's driving to jump over the top of somebody, and you knee somebody in the temple, that guy's going down. He's out. You're not going to stop that one. And because he doesn't have any padding on that on his knee, you know, it's a bigger impact to the skull. So there's a lot of things we can do. You know, I don't understand why these guys are out there today. I mean, offensive linemen, linebackers. If I was playing against a linebacker with no thigh pads, oh, my God. Are you kidding me? I would not be in his shoulders the whole first quarter.
How do they let him do that?
I have no idea.
As crazy as they are on restrictions on uniform, you got to wear it a certain way.
Yeah, you
got
to have your socks pulled up a certain height, but you don't have to wear a knee pad. I mean, it's nonsense.
Didn't Jimmy have rules about wearing pads? And if you got hurt when you weren't wearing them, didn't he have rules there?
Michael Irvin never wore thigh pads. If Michael Irvin missed a game because of a thigh bruise, he wasn't getting paid. That was Jimmy's rule.
Wow.
If you miss a game because you didn't wear a piece of equipment because you wanted to be faster, and then you got an injury directly related to that piece of equipment you didn't wear, you're not getting paid.
Why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't a player at the speed this is played?
Hey, Michael. How are you?
Doing good up here with the Moose.
Yeah, you're here with the Moose, aren't you, Michael?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. No, go ahead.
Okay. That's Mike and that's Troy.
that's right.
Yeah, that's hey, Paul.
And that would make you Emmett.
Yeah.
No.
Hey, great.
That's Emmett. That's
there you go. Why wouldn't a player, as violent as the game is, and as much as a career can be changed by injuries, why wouldn't a player wear normal protective equipment?
Good question. I wore everything they gave me. You know, it's a violent game. You get hit from every angle. I mean, you do everything you possibly can to protect yourself. So I don't get it. I really don't think, 11 ounces of foam rubber on your body are going to slow you down that much. If you're a 4.3, you're still going to be a 4.3. You know, just be safe out on the field. But I don't understand why a lot of these, getting back to your original question about these defensive players that are mad at Roger Goodell, I think, you know, James Harrison is a good football player. The hit that he did on Colt McCoy is unacceptable in the rules today. It's absolutely unacceptable. He knows it's wrong. He continues to do it. And when he gets fined, he complains. And it's like, you're fighting a battle that you're not going to win. And you're putting other people's careers in jeopardy. You know, who knows what happens to Colt McCoy moving forward? I mean, that was, you don't scare me because you hit a quarterback who's completely exposed. That does, you have not become tougher, in my opinion, because you did that to somebody. Mm-hmm. All that does to me is, if you did that to my quarterback, now I'm going to have to come after you. I have to come after you. So now I have to run further down the field. I'm going to go get you. If that's the way you're going to play the game, and I'm surprised that he hasn't had more issues with that. You know, throughout the course of his career over the last few years with some of the shots he's taken on these guys. He's a good football player. He doesn't need to play the game that way. He's feared around the NFL regardless. You know, I just don't understand why he continues to do this. And the biggest thing is why he argues with the commissioner. The rules are black and white. Everybody knows them. And if he does, you're just going to continue to get fined. The great thing today is all the fine money goes to the retired players. So have at it, you know.
Hey, Darryl, I was going to ask you about your position. Now, would it be a lot tougher for you to make a long living in the NFL as a fullback with the evolution of three wides, four wides, two tight ends? It just seems like that position is not anywhere near where it was when you came into the league.
Yeah. Kurt Warner and the Greatest Show on Turf. You know, they killed it in the late 90s. You know, I really thought that the decade of the 90s, you know, was one of the best decades for the position overall when you look at the guys who played during the course of that decade. You know, Tom Rathbun, myself, you know, Sam Gash, Kimball Anders, Lorenzo Neal.
Richardson.
Yeah, Richardson. Exactly. I mean, there was a bunch of them. There was a bunch of good football players. At the end of that decade, when the St. Louis Rams did what they did, the NFL really shifted into a matchup-style game. And, you know, St. Louis was trying to find that matchup, and they were putting wide receivers on the field to challenge your nickelback, to challenge your dimeback. That's where they were going to beat you. You know, to the point where Philadelphia drafted three corners, you know, the following year. They knew they had to get through St. Louis to get to the Super Bowl. So, you know, first round, second round, third round, they went corner, corner, corner. So, that continued to move. And for a long time, you know, when we talked to quarterbacks during the course of the season, what they would say is, one of the questions I always ask them is, what's your favorite personnel group? It was always three wide, one tight, one running back. It's shifting now to two wide, two tight end, one running back, but it's still that one running back. We need the guy who has changed the tight end position to come into the league as a fullback.
Yeah.
We need, you know, Rob Gronkowski, who is a matchup nightmare on the outside, to be the guy who's in the backfield blocking for the tailback, but now all of a sudden you come out with standard personnel, two wide, two backs, one tight, and he displaces into the formation, and he becomes the guy. How do we cover him? Do we put a linebacker on him? Do we bring a safety over the top? We've got to have that guy come out. And the guy, is it Marcel Shipp in Oakland, who is a converted wide receiver that's playing fullback right now? Is that
Bob, that's my opinion.
There's a guy out in Oakland. I don't think it's Marcel. I think it's another guy. But we had him earlier this year. He's a dynamic player from the fullback position. His thing is he's got to become more of a lead blocker. You know, I don't think he's a guy you can line up and pound the ball, but he is a matchup issue on the outside.
Does the kid in New York remind you of you at all? Henry Hynoski?
Nah, he's a Pitt guy. Syracuse guys are never compared to Pitt guys. Far more intelligent. I felt comfortable. See, my big thing was I learned early from Norv and from Ernie that if I was going to stay on the field, I had to know the offense across the board. So, you know, I listened when they talked about this is what you do out of the slot, this is what you do when you're split wide in Tiger. I listened to how he coached the wide receivers, and there were times in the huddle where, you know, where's you know, the wide receiver? And, you know, I got it, I jump in, and, you know, you'd get a hot read, and, you know, you know what to do. So you run it, and they're like, hey, you know what, he can play across the formation now. That's what kept me on the field on third down. You know, I had to, you know, teach Emmett that, you know, hey, listen, you know, there's a lot of easy catches on third down, but you have to know your protections. So before you're going to be able to get on the field to catch some footballs, you got to learn your protections. So I was doing everything I possibly could to stay on the field, and I was just fortunate enough that I had coaches that felt, you know what, I like the matchup with Darryl outside against a linebacker more than I like our third wide against their nickel or our second tight against their safety.
Quick broadcasting question for you that we were talking about on our show today. Have you become bolder in wardrobe over the last couple of years? It seems like early on you were keeping it rather basic, and now you might come up with something really crazy on a Sunday that was pretty bold.
Yeah. It's been fun.
And how does that work? How do you select your clothes even?
I have a guy here in town. He Salvatore Martinez down at Stanley Korshak is a guy that I work with. And, you know, he's great. You know, he's European. And so, you know, that's why you see a lot of the plaid on plaid and things that, you know, people are like, what are you wearing? When I finish the game and, you know, I'm easing my way into the Twitter world. And, you know, I get
that's
off.
That's a mistake, by the way.
It is. Yeah. It is. You know, positive people don't tweet.
No.
They really don't.
That's not the way they go.
It's not the land of happiness out there in Twitter world. And, you know, I get comments like Judge Schmales wants his clothes back. Ron Davenport wants his jacket back. But it's fun. You know, but
you trust this guy. You trust the Frenchman or whoever you got at Korshak.
I get last say. Mm-hmm. I get last say. I have final say. And,
but it looks so beautiful on you, the moose. Look at this. Look at your cobra
look at the way,
body.
Look at the way the leg breaks. Right?
Oh, it's beautiful. Look at this. It's a beautiful pant on you.
Fit. But there's been times where he's, you know, people, and I'm like, I'm not ready to. That's a thin branch
we're
stepping out on right there.
It's a leather thong everyone is wearing.
So when you first start doing the thing with the goose, and he's the third guy in the booth, but he's on the field, I remember thinking that was the craziest thing. And it just seemed awkward at the beginning. But I do have to tell you honestly, I think you guys have found whatever sort of rhythm that is. Have you seen a big progression in that the last couple of years? Because it had to be odd for you at the start, right?
Oh, God, yeah.
When to talk, when to let him take it and all that?
Yeah, there was a learning curve, definitely a learning curve. Nobody's done it before. And I don't think anybody... Tony's live the whole game. You know, he can come in whenever he wants. It's not...
You don't ever reach over and just kind of pot him down a little bit? Just all the way just bring him on down?
Yeah, I tell my producer before the game, let's lose power to him a couple times.
Here's a 20 and send some chicken parm down there.
Yeah, exactly. That's all I got to do. A couple meatball subs, we won't hear from him the whole first half. But it's something we grew into, and we've gotten to the point now where it's all about timing, and he knows... If you know, I'm either going to come right in with something, and if I'm not in a certain amount of time, then he's coming in. And I know that if I haven't gotten in a certain amount of time, I have to give him space for him to get in.
Mm-hmm.
The playing back and forth is something natural, but when he initiates the conversation from the field, as opposed to me initiating it from the booth, is the area that we've made the biggest improvement in. But, in the beginning, it was tough. It was tough because there was really nobody we could go to. And the hard part is, believe it or not, we see the game the same way, which it shocked me. You know, I thought
such
we would be polar opposites.
Such a different perspective from down there.
Exactly. And yeah. The one thing that people don't understand is they'll come up and they'll go, why is Tony talking about the offense? You should be talking about the offense. And I'm like, no, I know my offense, but I know all the other defenses. Tony knows his defense, but he knows all the other offenses. He's played against West Coast. He's played against this. He knows, you know, he knows the blocking schemes up front. You know, I know how to play against the 3-4, the 4-3. I know the zone blitz. I know the different defensive schemes. You know, Tony's only played in that one system, so he doesn't understand everything else. Where I've prepared against different defenses, and Tony's prepared against different offenses. And it kind of, you know, people for a while were like, he talks when you should be talking, and you're talking when he should be talking. And it took people a while to understand that usually it's the other side of the ball that a player knows better. You know, you can be very general about, I can be general about offense, and I can have my opinions about how the game should be played and how the position should be played. But defensively, because we studied so much on how to attack an opponent, I feel much more confident in my ability to talk about defensive strategy.
Because of the way you both progressed, do you think they're going to break you up and put him with a crew and then you with a crew?
No, I don't.
Are you guys married? You signed like a 20-year contract together or something? Or
I think, you know, it's hard because everybody would love to be in a two-man booth. You know, everybody wants their own platform. We found a way to make this work. I think it gives us a unique element. I know Tony enjoys it. He went out and did a game one time in the booth a couple of years ago. And, you know, he came back and he said, I have a lot of respect for you because your job is really, really hard. And, you know, that meant a lot. So, you know, I think we're in a good place right now. You know, we had a good game to end the season. We had San Francisco, New Orleans. You know, it was kind of an easy game to do. You just stay out of the way of that thing. You know, just don't, you know, don't get in the way of it. It was such a phenomenal game. Yeah. So I don't see them splitting us up. I really don't. I think it's, you know, our bosses were out there and they watched our playoff game. And they said the same thing you did. You know, we listen to you guys, but until you're here and actually watch how it works, we don't understand how you guys pull it off every week.
Yeah.
Do you call Troy and bitch about Siragusa and he calls you and bitch about Joe Buck?
Every Monday morning.
Yeah, I figured.
What about Kenny Albert? How does he figure into that whole thing?
Well, now, what kind of Muppet voice is that?
Yeah.
Sorry. Here he is, Daryl Moose Johnston,
live
at Ticket Stock. Thanks, Daryl.
You're good welcome. Thank you, guys.
Yeah. There he is, the Moose.
Thank you, Daryl.
See you, A-Ball.
More around.
Thank you, Daryl. I sure do appreciate that.
No.
All right, there's Michael Irvin, too.
Back in a moment, Nick.
Back we're all black next. Friends.
Thanks for putting up with us.
Oh, it was great.
Yes, Southwest Airlines ticket stock underway out here at the Irving Convention Center. We just had Daryl Moose Johnston on with us. Derek Holland was on a little bit earlier. He's signing autographs right now. Free autographs, too.
Yes.
Everything is free here at Ticket Stock. Our roundtable continues. Giorgio,
everything is free.
Along with Ryan's.
Except
noted broadcaster
beer.
Norm Hitchkiss, and we are shortly going to be joined by the Bob Sturm Show and also the great Gordo. Ryan's you enjoying ticket stock? I heard Corby asking you earlier, have you gotten over the shock of moving from the Plano Center? Because we were there for a long time.
Yes.
12-some-odd years, I think.
Yes, 12-some-odd years, but this is good. This is nice. This is a very strong ticket stock, don't you think?
Yeah, we got a Bud Light bar. We've never had a huge full-service bar like that before.
No, we have cowboy trailers in the room.
Yes, merchandise available. All sorts of vendors are out here. We got a lot of P1s out here as well. Brother Bob and Gordo have joined the round table.
Hey now.
Wanted to focus on Bob for a second.
Leave me alone.
No, this is a good thing. Ticket time wasters tonight. And a lot of guys at the ticket play music, they're in bands, or were in bands at some point, can play guitar a little bit, or do something. I think Bob's rapping ability is underrated.
Stop it.
I'm serious.
I can imitate.
I've never been treated to this.
You never heard Bob rap before?
No.
He's done it before. He and and Donovan have done Bring the Noise before, haven't you?
We did it one at Summer Bash, and then didn't we do something else? Did we do Run DMC or something one
year? I think y'all did do a Run DMC.
It was a little blast of one of these.
No. No, tonight for the Ticket Time Wasters, it'll be awesome.
The end.
Give us a little preview.
I'm not.
Who would love to hear Bob rap? What we're going to get tonight?
I don't have a rap.
Just do like two or three phrases from your song
tonight?
Yeah,
just a couple of lines.
What's going on with this? Check 1, 2. 1, 2, 3. Oh, my God.
It's all right. Don't
check 1, 2. There we
go.
Well,
it's not going to impress you. It's
yes,
not
it will.
This is so awesome. Wait till you hear this.
If you did what you did last night, I think everyone will be impressed. Just give us a few lines.
Come on.
I'm really not trying to put you on the spot.
Yeah, you are.
No, I'm not.
No, he's
I mean, I may be putting
not,
you on the spot.
I am. I may be putting you on the spot. Now do it.
But I'm serious in that I think you have skills.
I don't
I'm serious.
With a Z on the end.
All right, come on. Show him once again. You want to hear this, don't you?
Bob. Come on, we did the show for the P1s, right?
Obviously.
You suck.
I do not.
Yeah, you do.
This is so awesome. Wait till y'all hear
this. Okay, here we go. Just a couple lines from
tonight. Well, it's supposed to be with a big band. And
come on.
All right, do a little Run DMC. You did that song, didn't you?
I forgot.
Backstreet Lover, always undercover, and you talk to your daddy and say, come on.
Man, Bob, your voice is really high.
It is.
All right, come on.
The Tonight's?
Yeah,
all right,
just give us a couple lines.
Here we go, Bob.
It's the great Public Enemy. It's the great Bring the Noise. You will see it with the proper band tonight, but just a taste. Bass, how low can you go? Death Row, what a brother, no. Once again, Beck is the incredible. Rhyme Animal, the incredible. The Public Enemy number one. 5-0 said freeze, and I got numb. Can I tell you that I never really had a gun? It's the Wax of the Terminator X-Bun. Now they got me in a cell because my record they sell. And a brother like me said, well, Donovan the Prophet, and I think you ought to listen to. What'd he say to you? What you ought to do is follow for now. Follow the people say, make a miracle. D-back the lyrical. Black is back, all in. We're going to win. Check
Come
it out.
On, do it right.
Yeah.
Do it right.
Yeah.
Did he not do it right?
I think he did. Gordon's just being a jerk, I think.
I thought he was doing a joke. I thought he was doing...
What do you mean doing a joke?
Look, all obviously. I know is I cannot do that.
I can't do it either.
I can't either.
I can't either.
I look out there and my mind goes blank. That's what I don't understand about them.
What? The guys who rap for 2 hours straight?
I don't have any idea how they can retain that in their brain, especially when they're smoking weed the whole time.
Now, that's an accusation.
Wow, that's a... stereotypical opinion of rappers.
Well,
but a true one. An accurate
I don't
one.
Mean to break it, this to anyone, but
now what color are these rappers you're talking about?
Eminem is extremely white and extremely high most of the time.
No.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, I'm offended by your attack on rappers.
I am too.
And your attack on Whitey.
And so is George's friend Vanilla Ice.
Yeah, we're pretty close.
We were able to bring them together 2 weeks ago.
For the first time in 30 years.
We have an invitation to go see him at Zouk, or
What's
Zouk,
that?
Or whatever it is.
Who does?
It's one of these bottle service bars.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, let's go. When is it?
A couple weeks.
Bottle service bar.
There for a while he was doing like metal rap. Is he back doing just rap now? That's the one thing.
Now he's doing Home Improvement.
Well, I know he's doing that, but he's still rapping.
Did you know that?
Yes, I did know that.
Have you ever seen it?
No, I haven't seen his show, but I had heard about that, and I had heard from a very reliable source that Vanilla Ice actually still did retain some of his money from his glory days, because he would buy properties, like a lot of rappers buy cars and stuff like that.
And flip them, right?
No, he didn't intend to make money on them, but he wrote a real estate bubble up on all of these properties that he bought around the country.
Because his show is buying beat-down rich houses and...
Yeah.
Making them real nice and flipping them.
Yeah, so. You can also lose a lot of money that way.
Who wants to? Yeah, I can tell you about that. Who wants to hear Norm rap?
No, Norm doesn't rap.
No heart.
All right, stop.
No heart.
Collaborate and listen. The Kane is on the scene with a brand new invention.
Now, I will promise a song for summer, though. Grooves and I couldn't
you
get...
You promised us tonight that we're going to hear Poncho and Lefty.
There just wasn't enough time to get Poncho and Lefty together. Grooves, by the way, is Poncho, just if you're wondering. And I'll be Lefty to do the Willie Nelson song. We'll do it at Summer Bash.
You cross-dressed with me one time and did a song.
Yes, and I truly enjoyed it, Gordon.
What'd y'all do?
We did me and Bobby McGee, and he played the part of Bobby McGee, the girl version of Bobby McGee.
With full dress.
And he was wearing like this...
I've forgotten about that.
Like this Marlon Brando muumuu or something. It was like this weird... And he had falsies in and...
Balloons.
Were they balloons?
They were balloons.
I thought you'd rigged one up to shoot like some vitamin D homogenized out of one of them into the audience.
I'm sorry, Norm.
No, like, they were simple balloons, Gordon.
I thought you were arcing some 2% into the crowd.
I'm sorry.
Man, it's so awkward.
Norm couldn't get a number together, because he was busy packing his overnight bag for his 3-week vacation.
Oh, I got one for Norm. Norm, what is a more awkward crosstalk, with us or with bad radio? Clearly. Who do you enjoy talking to the least?
What? I don't understand the question.
Who do I enjoy
the most
talking
awkward,
to the
Who do you most enjoy talking to the least?
Who's the most awkward crosstalk, us or bad radio?
Gordon veers further off-road than anybody on the station.
But bad radio is more awkward.
It's because Dan doesn't even try.
Yeah, Dan hates him. So it's got to be that.
I don't think Dan hates Norm. I think he just hates mixing with Norm. I think there's a distinction there.
Gordon has a game plan for mixing with me. He tries to derail me every day.
That's not true. I try to keep it on the tracks.
What do you think, George? Am I
close
to the
truth
there? Oh, I
know he does. Now you know a little bit about what I go through every morning.
Yep.
It's a battlefield.
Yep.
I paint with
words.
You have
4.5 hours of it.
4.5 hours of it.
You paint with words?
I do.
All right.
Yes, and sometimes I like to do unexpected things and play with different palettes.
I have one roundtable segment, and I'm already crazy.
You ready to give up ticket stock?
Totally.
We still got a long way to go, Rhines.
We do, George. We sure do, and I hope all of you are going to be here for it.
And this is an event that's like no other.
Do you think anything at the Irving Convention Center can rival when we saw the three pass
What's Bob talking
at the Plano
about?
Center, Mike?
We saw what?
We all shared Dale Earnhardt's passing at the Plano Center together.
Yeah.
Back when we did Sundays.
Oh, man, that was tough.
Did you know we had a ticker person cry when we broke the news?
Who?
You remember this, George? We just heard about this
today. I didn't remember it until
Rich isn't on Sunday.
No, it wasn't Rich. We had a female ticker person.
Sports Layla?
Do we have any females in the audience? We have a lot of girls here.
Yeah.
There are more chicks that listen to the ticket now than ever before. I like that.
Uh-huh.
It's nice. How many of you love the Jubinator?
Very few.
International Chirp Chirp.
Yeah. Although the woman who calls in on the emergency break is here.
That's her that says, I love you madly, Giorgio.
Yeah,
that's
I
her.
Get to meet her.
I also met Cowboy Jeff, the much vilified parodyist.
Yeah,
he's
he was
out
laying
here.
Really low.
Yeah.
He says people are after him.
Yeah, he does have a kind of a conspiracy theory that Jerry's after him.
Yeah, I don't know about all that, but Cowboy Jeff is here, and so are a lot of good P1s.
That certainly doesn't apply at the ticket. No one in the ticket goes with conspiracy theories, do they?
No.
No.
And
look at Gordon.
Like no other.
It says here that Junior, Gordo, Dan,
canceled.
Donnie,
canceled.
And Corby
canceled.
Are next.
Yay!
Ticket Stock 2012.
Like, what up, Irving?
Shock Jock Camp.
6:40 here on the ticket. The roundtables continue from Ticket Stock at the Irving Convention Center.
Check 1, 2.
I'm your host. This is Craig Miller's Ticket Stock 2012, and thank you all for coming to my big party. On the roundtable, we've got Corby and Dan and Donovan and Gordo. This will be our final roundtable before the Macho Mobile Storage Ticket Time Wasters take the stage.
Sponsors.
So we're very excited about that. And with the sponsors of this particular roundtable, here's Donovan.
This roundtable is brought to you by GranadaTheater.com and Man's Best Friend.
Excellent.
Oh.
Wolf.
That's awesome.
So I got to say, while this last roundtable was going on, I walked around. I took in the new digs.
Did you put your disguise on?
I did. This place is awesome.
Isn't it?
Yes.
Isn't this cool?
Now, we love the Plano Center, and we have a lot of fond memories of ticket stock there, but...
Not really.
This place is... This is perfect.
It is. Size-wise, it's perfect. A lot of people have showed up, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I wish they'd go home.
It's a lot closer to my house. Isn't that what it's all about?
Probably not. That's not... Doesn't have much to do with
it's
anything.
It's a little closer to my house also.
It just seems everything's...
Why is everyone so nervous to come south? Huh?
I'm not. I grew up there.
Just
I went to high school
people.
There.
Where? Where'd you go
down
to high school?
Down south. Bishop Dunn. In the hood.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, there are a couple guys, a couple former Falcons.
No, I'm just saying, every time we have events, I have to, you know, pack a thermos, drive all the way up north because it's so nervous about going down south. Come on. We won't mess with you.
Why don't we have ticket stock next year on the corner of Beckley and Saner?
Yeah, the guy selling DVDs.
Okay, have fun.
The guy selling DVDs out of his trunk at Menards hasn't booked a ticket.
Menards.
Why do you say Menards?
That's what it's called, isn't it?
Menards.
Our,
Wait, hang on.
He said it.
Hang on.
Our intern, Evan.
Where are you from?
Menards. He's our, right.
Our intern, Evan, who's from the hood, told us he'd buy his DVDs at Menards.
Go give me
he called it Menards?
Yeah, go give me some 69-cent bread at Menards.
Yeah.
Boy.
Why don't you go back to your lily white...
Why don't you go back to white people land?
Your little fake utopia that you've built up there.
Actually, I've never stepped foot into a Menards. I wouldn't
really?
Dare. Oh, my God. I think that's...
How much Bimbo bread have you bought?
I think that's the main grocery store that I went to in school, in college, was Menards. But I don't know for sure, but I swear it's Menards.
I've never been in one. I know my driver ran into one time to get the condoms.
Smashed through the window.
Don't they have scripts there?
You get me some condoms and some hydrocodone.
Speaking of driver,
they're on the same aisle.
Have we passed the point of no return on telling the story of you and I in that limo that one night and that guy who was so blasted? We were doing like some pub crawl. This was back in 98.
Oh. Yeah, man, I don't know if you want to tell that story.
Oh
God, what are you doing, Corby?
No, we don't have to name names, and trust me, that guy is nowhere around here.
I don't remember you being in there. You're talking the
same one. No, what happened was is you, for some reason, got saddled with going back with them, and I caught another ride or something like that.
Yeah.
But we were together the whole night, and then you ended up with this couple.
Yeah.
And the guy was...
Oh, so I just told you the story. You weren't in there.
No, I wasn't in there.
Final
no,
part.
I was with him the build-up process of seeing him go from 0.0 to 12.9 on the drunk scale.
What? We shouldn't... Let's
Tell
move
it.
On. Let's
Tell
move
it.
On.
It was like 30 years ago.
Sean Lee's waiting to come back on.
Yeah.
Who wants to hear the story?
All right, for some reason or another, Corby and I, it was an appearance of some sort.
It was an all-night thing.
Because it was an all-night deal. It was like a pub crawl. They rented us a limo, and you and me, and who else was with us? Henry VIII, and...
No.
But there was a salesperson with us.
I think it was for St. Patrick's Day.
St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
I don't want to get into too much specifics.
No, we don't.
How do we talk around?
There was a P1 that was in the car with us on the way back.
This couple was with us on the way back.
Yeah.
And this woman who worked at the ticket, she was with us in the limo. And throughout the whole night, now she... was a very attractive girl. Very attractive. Matter of fact...
Don't look at me.
I think Corby partook in that a little bit, but that's an accusation for another time. Anyway, so...
What the hell is going on here?
There's so much that we just can't say. If people knew
this
what went on behind
story.
The scenes.
Yeah, this story is awesome.
So, anyway,
man,
so
I want you to tell
we're on
again.
This pub crawl, and we're in this limousine, and we're going to bar after bar, and people are getting liquored up, and this couple, it's clear, this hot girl and her fiancé, no one thinks this is going to last. No one thinks this is going to last.
Like the relationship?
Yeah.
Well, he could have OJ'd her that night.
Oh,
I mean, they just fight constantly, and it escalates. And you see him fighting, and she's hitting him and screaming at him and threatening to call the cops. And the next time you look over there, they're making out, and he's got his hand down the front of her capris.
God, I love you, baby.
You know, it's one of those...
We're going to last forever.
Crazy. It's like Billy Bob and Angelina type psychotic relationship.
It's one of those insane relationships that just goes from busting each other's teeth out to drinking intravenously from each other.
And
you know?
Can see that he was building up to the point, the drunker he got, the more that he just didn't care about nothing.
Yeah, he had like Keanu Reeves hair, and he was just, oh, man, and, you know...
We're going to party till we die.
We are, man. We're dying tonight. Who's got coke? You know, that kind of...
Yeah. And we're just like, oh.
And it's just building up, and everyone just is... The rest of the car just gets more and more silent as he gets louder. And finally, we had dropped Corby off, and we're heading back. Oh, I forgot we picked up this girl. You remember this part? I don't know who she was attached to. I don't know whether I got... No, there were a couple guys... who were in there who were businessmen, and they were real Chris Chris's.
Yeah.
And they somehow got this, hey, come here, honey, we got a limo, get in the car, we'll give you, I have to get to my car, it's a little bit further, oh, come on, get in the car, we'll take it, everything. And she comes over to the car, and they basically grab her and throw her in the car, and all of a sudden I'm involved in a kidnapping situation, I want out. And so they're taking her somewhere, and this is like 2 o'clock at night, nothing good is going on. And I just wanted this night to be over. We have the O.J. Simpson couple going, and then we have these Chris Chris's that have abducted some girl who's just crying, please take me to my car, and I don't know what to do. And then finally, they let her out somewhere. She goes, just let me off at this gas station. I'll call someone. And I'm like trying to give her to her. Just call, please, call my parents. They'll come pick you up. And so finally, we start heading back to the hotel, because I think we had a hotel somewhere in Fort Worth that night. And the car goes quiet. I notice the car is quiet, and I start looking around, and everyone is all slumped and passed out, and everyone's just done. Everyone's passed out except for Nicole Brown Simpson and OJ. She's laying in his lap. She's asleep in his lap.
Hey, now.
Laying
now the
there.
Story gets interesting.
And he's just like this. This is a total visual. People on radio can't see. He just
eyes closed.
Yeah, nodding in and out and everything, and every once in a while he and he startles and he wakes up and he starts letting out some torrent of cussing that he's threatening to kill someone.
Yeah.
I'm gonna kill you. I'm gonna kill you. I'm gonna slit your throat and kill you.
And then he nods off again. And I'm in this limo and everything, and every time he wakes up, I go back down. I pretend like I'm asleep, you know?
But it's fascinating. It's a fascinating character study.
And then he'll nod off again, and I kind of peek an eye open and watch him again.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to see what this Ted Bundy in the making is going to do next.
Right.
So we head to the hotel, and he just keeps screaming obscenities to this phantom person that he's going to kill, and he goes into detail about Colombian neckties and all this stuff he's going to do. And I never got the explanation for what happened. Talked to them the next day, and they're like, oh, that was just another night for us.
Yeah, that was great.
Meanwhile, they had had racked up like 15 domestics.
Yeah.
And then he went on this soliloquy about death and dismemberment. And those are the somehow I find myself in these situations and I can't make sense of them, and other people just act like it's normal.
I don't know how I avoided that scene, but the next day when you called and told me that, and I could completely picture it because the guy's such a lunatic. But yeah, the story was, it was not only that he was going to kill someone, it then turned sexual to where you know, he's like, you know, he'd be asleep, be like, I'm gonna F you, I'm gonna F you.
Whoa. Oh, and I forgot, he was also the guy that was, I want to say he was threatening to kill the girl that got kicked out of the car at the gas station.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it was the girl. It was his girlfriend. It was Nicole Brown Simpson. She got violent towards that girl because there were extra ovaries in the car, so she had to war with her. Get her out of here, little slut! And she kicked her as she got out the limo.
Oh, my God. Man, there have been...
You just couldn't make sense of anything that was going on. You didn't understand any of the conflicts and... I just wanted to go back to being 5 again when life was simple.
And you know,
meanwhile, I forgot to tell you, when the guy was asking, when the Chris was going, hey, has anybody got any coke? The courtesy window goes down, and the limo driver has a package. And then I said, no, we're fine. And he goes, oh, okay. And he rolls the window back up. So the limo driver is sitting on a kilo up front. I'm just paranoid we're going to get pulled over.
And that was a ticket-sanctioned outing?
Yes. Yes.
That was a few ownerships ago.
Okay. So, it literally was a pub crawl that started on St. Patrick's Day, the worst drunken Dallas day of the year. It started at 3 in the afternoon. We went to a dozen different bars, and that guy probably had
200. He had a six-pack at each bar.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Now tell me more about the head and the lap.
She was asleep. She was asleep, but you know what? It would not have surprised me if he had turned to me and Corby and said, you guys want to take a turn? She's out.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like that kind of weird night where...
Would you have...
She won't
know.
Would you have thought about it?
No.
Split second.
Why not?
Split second.
No. I wouldn't, I mean, you wouldn't, I wouldn't have, make you love wouldn't, to any girl that I didn't knock out you myself.
Wouldn't, you wouldn't have said, okay. I'm good.
No, but Corby has a story about her that I think you'd really enjoy hearing.
No, I... don't.
Come on.
No, hey, I don't.
Hey, Gordon, it was the messiest third base I ever had, man.
Oh, my God.
Hey, I just want to tell you about checking oil last night.
See, I thought your story about the pub crawl was going to end with you getting Corby pregnant or something like that.
Yeah, and then I had to go to Amsterdam and buy the morning after pill. Good
the
Lord.
The hell?
What just happened here?
Just go to Menards.
Yeah, that was the end of the evening.
Everything in? That's time for a break. That's ending on a high.
At the end of the evening, we're all in the limo just shoving morning after pills in each other's mouth.
Everybody take it! Everybody!
Eat more!
Hurry!
Hey, Bordop, is this our last break? Are we done? Or are we coming back?
It's Kevin Turner.
No,
Kevin.
We're coming back.
We have one more segment?
Yeah, with two segments for each roundtable, Holmes.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, but this one we're at 6:53.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
So what should we do here?
Let's cancel ticket
stop. Go two more minutes and double up.
That's it. Everybody
right,
out.
You want to do that, Kevin?
Everybody out. Please. Take a morning after pill and get the hell out. Do not have a baby.
I think we're going to say good night to our terrific listeners on 1310 and 104.1 from Ticket Stock. But for all of those here, you're about to witness music history. The Macho Mobile Storage Ticket Time Wasters coming up next right here on this stage from Craig Miller's Ticket Stock 2012.
Not the official name.
Okay, so we lied. We're actually back here at Ticket Stock, Southwest Airlines Ticket Stock, for one more very brief segment. This segment is the Ticket Time Wasters pregame show, basically, as we get everybody set for the Time Wasters performance, which is about 20 minutes away.
Let's break it down then.
All right.
What do we need to do to execute tonight?
Well, the first thing we need is a crowd, and we've got that.
Heck
great
yeah.
Crowd.
Look at this crowd.
This is awesome.
Hey, you know what I want to know out of this crowd? Because I know a lot of people, I see a lot of familiar faces from Plano, but how many people came from, like, the 817 area?
Look at that.
Good. That makes me happy.
Yeah, it was my idea to make this a more central location for Ticket
Not
Stock
at all.
This year.
You had nothing
so
to do with it.
So it'd be accessible to our Tarrant County friends.
I don't remember any of that.
Okay, so we got a great crowd. We've got a much bigger stage than we've had in the past. I think that's going to help the stage performances, right?
I'm seeing something very interesting with these lights up here, though. Do you notice they're going on and off?
Well, yes. I think that's the fluorescent nature of
it. That's
them.
The signal.
Kat said we have stage lighting. So
well, you're looking at it.
That's it.
He said it's on the side of the stage.
That's it there.
He said it's multicolored.
You're seeing it.
So it's actually on the stage.
Yes.
Okay.
So you'll see it. It'll be. They're going to erect it later.
Oh, okay. There's some scaffolding still to be built. The Time Waster should be on by midnight, so hopefully that should appease some of you people.
Hmm. Yeah, I've got the set list here in my hand, and I'm not going to give away all of what you're about to hear, but let's just say this is going to be a pretty good concert. Pretty good concert.
Points?
We're not allowed to say exactly what's going to happen. Now, Corby, I see your song here.
Will Gordo be on stage?
Yes. He will be on stage a couple of times.
Yay.
Canceled. I was just canceled.
Have you talked about your song?
I'm more... Me?
No, Corby?
No.
No.
Okay.
Didn't you tell me I have to get my kids out of here during your second song?
Yeah. You know, that's always a tradition, too, at Ticket Stock, is Dan walking up to me, hey, my kid's cool with your song? No.
Well, there's two kids right down here front.
Yeah,
look at
this
that.
Is making me nervous.
Well, you're very nice to, usually you walk up to me and say, this song has the word penis in it 72 times.
Oh.
So...
I'd like to personally welcome you two kids to Ticket Stock. I hope you have a great time.
You know, I met their father earlier.
Don't listen to everything.
I appreciate the fact that they're up front.
They'll be recanting this to a therapist someday.
I apologize.
It was 2012.
I apologize for
the
second song.
I was in Irving. And he said...
Yeah. I hope you like multiple C words.
Oh, dude.
Oh, man.
Whoa.
That hurts.
Man. Come on, man.
That hurts.
Three is the limit.
Yeah.
Whatevs, man. It's Ticket Stock. Do what I want, bitches.
Whoa.
Oh, come on.
There are two little girls down here.
I'm not talking
what did
to
you
them.
Just call?
Okay. I'm not talking to them. Well, I look forward to entertaining tonight.
So if you had to put a movie rating on the Time Waster show, what would it be?
It's
R?
Yeah, it's probably R, because Donovan gets really, really...
Whatever.
Dude.
No raunchiness at all tonight. Well,
I'm mandated to have at least 4 junk tugs.
Yeah.
So I will tug my junk 4 times.
And nobody likes to do the more than you, you know?
Okay. I'm a sexual being.
I know you are. And that's why women love you.
Yeah, buddy.
And men fear you.
Yeah.
I'm just amazed that it only takes you 4 tugs.
That's it.
That's incredible.
I've been practicing that for a long time.
What a time saver.
You get better at your craft. That's right.
No doubt.
Why would you want to do that for a long time?
It'd be magical.
It's 4. 4 tugs.
You're incredible.
Anybody Thank else you. Fear James Carville up here at the front that he's going to kill us all before the night's over?
Yes, I do. I'm outnumbered.
Everybody else excited?
Right.
Time waste question.
God. It's like these people have been crop dusted with opiates or something. They're just all kind of not into it.
Hey, that's the wrestling thing. That's all you have to do is say to the city. Hey, what's up, Irvin?
All right.
See?
All right.
Always
do. Do you guys want this round table to continue, or do you want the time wasters? That's what I thought. Oh, it's 7:05 on Sports Radio 1310. The Ticket coming up next on Ticket Time Wasters.
Oh, I hate you.